Good morning once again. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, we've been in Luke for many months. We now have arrived at Luke chapter 11. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. But Luke 11, and then you may want to also take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you don't have to do that now, but it may make it convenient in a little bit. Let's stand together, if you would, Luke chapter 11. We'll read the four verses that some would call the Lord's Prayer. We are more familiar with the version that is found in Matthew, but we find here Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this prayer. But Lord, we realize that it's an example of prayer, not one to be quoted only. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to pray, to remember to pray, and to be willing to do that. Give us, Lord, this day strength and our spiritual bread. In Jesus, and we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Luke chapter 10, we saw that the 70 had been sent forth to be a testimony of the Lord. We find that Jesus denounces judgment on cities that do not receive his messengers. We find the lawyer's question that leads to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And also we find the visit to Martha's home. But now we find that he was praying. The Bible says, as he was praying, if the Lord prayed, should we then also pray? Amen. Do you know that you cannot be a Christian if you don't pray? Now you say, wait a minute, I've been born again, saved by the blood. You can be born again without being a Christian. Do you realize that if you have not been baptized by immersion, you can't be a Christian? You say, what are you talking about? Christ was baptized by immersion. We find that Christian means Christ-like. And Christ was baptized by immersion. Christ prayed. Christ gave. And we realize if we're going to be a Christian, we need to be like Christ. Praying is making supplication, making a petition. It means making communication. We need to be in communication with our Lord. If you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And I did mention that, right? Hebrews 4? Okay. Now, I don't know if you turn there. That's between you and your Bible. But if you did not, please do. And if you did, then look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Folks, we need Christians who will hold fast to what is true. It does not matter what the law of the land is. If it's contrary to the Bible, it is contrary to God. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our Savior was without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are to pray. We are encouraged to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we had our memory verse from for today, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we are to be in regular, make it a regular habit to pray. Not just at breakfast, not just at lunch, not just at dinner, but to pray through the day. Pray for the Covenant Baptist Church. Pray for the pastors of the Covenant Baptist Church. I don't know about Pastor Stephen or my dad, but I sure need your prayers. And we need to pray without ceasing. You need to remember that I am a human. And I have to put up with three dogs. So I need your prayers. We find that the disciples had either watched as he prayed or were part of the prayer meeting. The disciples had seen the Lord make petitions to the Heavenly Father, and they had been answered with many mighty miracles, and they desired the same power. And they said, "Teach us to pray." John Baptizer taught his disciples, "Lord, you teach us to pray." Teach us to pray. To teach means to be taught. You know, there are a lot of people that go to classes, but they're not always taught anything. I remember when I was in college, there was a young man that was there with me. His name was Bob. His last name doesn't matter. But he would fall asleep in the first hour class regularly. And what was funny, you could look at his notes that he was taking, and there would be this little squiggly line. And then he'd wake up and he'd start writing, but below the squiggly line. So the squiggly line could be three or four lines, and he would not write over the squiggly. He would write under the squiggly. I don't know if he knew what the squiggly meant or not. I don't know. But you know, he was paying for that class. And a lot of times he was sleeping right through it. Do you learn a whole lot when you're sleeping? You don't learn much. See, a lot of people can anything. Teach us to pray. Us. Not the person across the aisle. Not the person behind you or in front of you. Teach us to pray. That means everyone that knows Christ as their Savior should what? Pray. Every one of us should pray. Two. Teach us what? To pray. That means do it. Don't just know about it, not realize it's available. Do it. Do it. One of the things I miss most about my mother not being with us here anymore is I miss her prayers for me. I miss that, her not being here praying for me during the sermon. I think there were times I could look at her and I could see this look, oh, he needs more prayer right now. And she would pray for me. Some of you need to pick up her prayers, folks, because I need her prayers, and she's not here anymore to do that. We need to pray one for another. Folks, we live in difficult days. Satan is alive and well, and he's working hard. And we have a lot of things happening in today's society that is frustrating. But we are to pray, and I believe this is an unused weapon of the believer. Verse 2. And he said unto them, "When ye pray," Jesus is going to instruct them to pray. May we remember that prayers must always be for the Lord's honor and glory first and foremost. Did you catch that? That our prayers should always be for His honor and glory. Our prayers should never be contradictory to the Lord's will. Because if we are praying against the Lord's will, we are praying against Him. So we must always pray for the Lord's will to be done. When ye pray, not if you pray again, when you pray. And then he begins. We find it here. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father. We are to pray to the Lord. We're to pray to him. We're not to pray to a saint. We're not to pray to angels. We're not to pray to someone who has died and gone on. We are to pray to the Heavenly Father. He is the one to whom we pray. Our Father which art in heaven. We have a Father who is in heaven. And He does care about us and He does love us. And we are to pray to Him. Hallowed be Thy name. He is holy. He is to be reverenced. He is to be honored. May I say this? I am bothered by people who use God's name in vain. God's last name isn't damn. Well, His last name is not that. He is to be remembered in a right and proper way. Will you remember that? That this is important. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. The first activity of prayer is not that of getting something for ourselves, but of getting something for God. I believe one of my major problems early on was that I was often praying for myself. But then I realized that I need to pray for God's will to be done. And if God's will is being done in my life, isn't that going to make me content? I may not always understand what's going on, but I need to remember that I need to pray for God's will. For what are we to ask? That His name be hallowed on earth. His name has become something of a joke in many circles. There are many who don't even think about God. They aren't concerned about an afterlife. But we are to pray that His name is hallowed on earth, that His kingdom may come, that His will be done, that God's heart may be satisfied, that God's purpose may be realized. In other words, praying to God on behalf of God. Praying that what He wants done is done and accomplished. May I say this? I don't believe you ever have to pray to ask if you should go to church. God's will is that we go to church. I don't believe you ever have to pray about tithing. God's will is that you tithe. I don't believe you ever have to pray about inviting someone to church. I believe God's will is that you invite someone to church. These are things you don't have to pray about. You just simply do God's will. But there are times in which we don't know what His will is. Then we need to pray about it. Then we need to ask Him, Lord, what would You have me do? We need to pray that God's purpose is accomplished. Why did Jesus come to planet Earth? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe we need to remember that. That was His reason for coming. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The law showed that we were sinners. And He came to redeem us that we might receive the adoption of sons. Herein is our reason to pray that God's name be glorified, that souls be saved, and that His will be satisfied. Have we prayed today that God's will be done? May I ask you this question? Did you pray that when you came to church today, that the message, not the messenger, but the message would touch your heart? And that if you needed something to be changed in your life, that you'd be willing to do it? Or are we praying, Lord, You touch somebody else, but leave me alone? Notice, Thy will be done. That prayer will always be answered. Thy will be done. Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. Notice verse 3 now. It's a short little verse. Give us day by day our daily bread. We know it better as give us this day our daily bread. Like I said, from the book of Matthew. Daily provisions are needed of both physical and spiritual bread. I like bread. It's probably my downfall in life, followed by Swiss cheese. If you make good bread with good Swiss cheese, you have a world of a good sandwich. I mean, that's worth getting up for in the morning. I'm glad to give up an hour of sleep for good bread with good Swiss cheese. But since we didn't have any Swiss cheese in the house this morning, it was hard to get out of bed. Dr. Mark, I'm not like you. I don't get up at 5 in the morning. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Lord, give us our daily bread, that which is physical, but also that which is spiritual. We need spiritual food every day. None of us should be on a spiritual diet. We need our daily bread spiritually every day. Every day. Verse 4. For me, I have to turn the page. You may not have to. "And forgive us our sins." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Does that mean everybody? Can I pick on a couple of you right now? If I can pick on you, would you raise your hand? Oh, I see hands going up all over the place. Good, good. Laura Jones, is she a sinner? Oh, she agrees. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't look like a sinner. Grandma. How many of you know that the Joneses at sometimes during have as many as 20 deers in their backyard? 20 deer. 23. And you don't hunt, do you? They live over here in Rochester Hills on, yeah. Good hunt with a bow and arrow, right? Yeah. So not only are you a sinner, the deer are sinners. You learned it from them. They're worse than dogs. How about Rudy? Is Rudy a sinner? He came over and worked on my refrigerator the other day. Is he still a sinner? Rudy, they're saying you're a sinner. They're shaking heads. Or nodding heads, I should say. Nodding heads, yes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need to be forgiven of our sins. I believe we need to ask daily for the Lord to forgive us. You say, well, I'm saved. Do you sin every day? You need to ask God to forgive you every day. Now, granted, he has saved our souls, but we need to ask him to forgive us of our sins because we sin every day. Some of you have begun sinning in this service right now because you're saying, I wish he'd hurry up and quit. Yeah. Some of you are thinking about other things. You don't even know where we're at. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 4. But notice, forgive us our sins. Forgive us as we forgive others. The only place in this prayer in which we make self the subject of the sentence is when we are telling God we have forgiven those people who have wronged us. It's the only place that self takes precedence, that we have forgiven others. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you get nothing else out of today's sermon, get what we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Wow, that would eliminate some conversations, right? Yes. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By corrupt communication. Continuing verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Obviously, malice leads to bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Verse 32, And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I believe there are times you forgive even when they haven't asked for it. May I say this, you hold a grudge against somebody, most likely they've gone on with life, and you're holding a grudge. Some people have held a grudge so long they don't even know why they have a grudge, they just know they have one. Sometimes it infects a whole family, and the whole family is upset at some other family. Nobody knows really why, but they just hold a grudge. But we're to forgive one another. We're to move on. As one has said, we're to grow up, forgiven. So as we stand before the God of the universe, he will see nothing but the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord. Be my Savior. When we stand before the God of the universe, he's not going to see your good works. He's not going to see your good deeds. He's going to see the blood of Christ. Revelation 5:9 says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. We find here that forgive us, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I have 1 minute according to the clock. If Rudy's watch goes off, ignore it. Evil. Evil meaning corrupt, depraved, immoral, dishonest, polluted, defiled, destructive. It sounds like many in today's world. They're evil. Deliver us from them. Deliver us. God's desire is to seek and to save that which was lost. And then God's desire is, once we've come to know him as Savior, that we will walk in a right and proper way. In a moment, we'll stand for an invitation. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to give you the opportunity to come and from the Scriptures be shown what needs to be done to be saved. And if you have, we hope that you are walking right and proper in your Christian walk. Shall we stand together? 375 is our invitation song, "Just As I Am." The Lord wants us to come just as we are, so that he can then make us as he desires. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. Touch hearts. May the Spirit move. Lord, may there be rejoicing in heaven over one that repents today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.